All right, the book of Psalms, chapter number 77. 77 this morning, the book of Psalms. If you just kind of open your Bible up right there into the middle, you should be in the book of Psalms. Psalms are probably somewhere close to there. So when you found Psalm 77, you can say amen, and I'll know that you're there. Amen. All right, not hard to find this morning, but Psalm 77. And these psalms are psalms of remembrance and reminding the nation of Israel of what God has done for them. And a great psalm here this morning. As we look at this psalm, the Bible says here that's a psalm of Asaph. And so let's look what the Bible says. Psalm 77, verse number 1. It says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this was my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Now we're going to take our text there out of verse number 11. It says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And what I want to preach on this thought on our anniversary Sunday is simply this: remembering. Remembering. And how important it is to remember all that God has done for us. As Asaph writes this psalm and he gets down in verse number 11 and 12 and verse number 13, he's remembering the sanctuary, remembering the worship services they had, remembering all that God has done for them. And you know what? On an anniversary day, the greatest thing we can do is remember all God has done for us. So let's go to the Word and wear a prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Father, we pray you'd bless the Word this morning and that the Holy Ghost of God would be upon it. And God, as we remember some things this morning, it's good to have some memories. It's good, Lord, to consider some things of old. And God, we can learn from the past and rejoice in the past. Lord, we don't want to live in the past, but God, we do want to honor the past and what you've done. And Father, thank you for what you've done over the years at Fellowship Baptist Church in the lives of people. And God, our prayer is that you'll continue to work wondrously in our lives. And God, that our future will be as great as our past. And Father, thank you for the Word this morning. Empower me and help me to preach it. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as we remembering some things. Now, again, it's the 56th anniversary of Fellowship Baptist Church, and we do have a lot to remember. Thank God we were organized October 9th, 1959. That was a long time ago, is it not? And 56 years ago, and we had a humble beginning as it organized in someone's living room, and how God has blessed that. As we're in the fellowship hall today, when you're over there on the old side where the food's going to be served, remember, that's the first church at Fellowship Baptist Church. The building's still here, and you say, why is the kitchen set up so funny? Because it was never meant to be a kitchen. It was meant to be the sanctuary. And that's why it's set up kind of funny when you go over there. You'll notice that. And so when you go in there, where the kitchen is actually where the foyer was. And then the church is where we'll serve the food. And where the units are hanging up is where the pulpit was. So that was 56 years ago. That was a long time. And that was the humble beginnings of Fellowship Baptist Church. But I'm glad somebody had a vision for what God was going to do. I'm glad they purchased 3 acres on this lot here. And even though they had one little building with not much on it and not a whole lot of people, they had a vision of what one day Fellowship Baptist Church would be. And hallelujah, we're still here today because they had a vision for some things. And we ought to remember what they did. We ought to remember the blessings of old and how God blessed it. And they built in 1965 when they built that building. And then they built the bigger building. And then when the fire came and they built the building that we enjoy here today, took place in 1990 and 91. And we have a lot to remember. And thank God. Anniversaries are about remembering. And we all celebrate anniversaries. And in the text here, in verse number 3, 5, 6, 10, and 11, you read the word remember. Because what is Asaph doing? He's remembering some things. He's rehearsing some things. And what a great thing that is. Anniversaries are about remembering. They're about rejoicing. You know, when you have your anniversary, what do? You rejoice. When you have a birthday, what do? You rejoice. Aren't birthdays fun? Aren't anniversaries fun? You say, why are they fun? Because you're remembering. You're celebrating what God has done for you. And hallelujah, at church here, we have a lot to celebrate and how God's blessed us and how we can appreciate of how many souls have been saved here at Fellowship Baptist Church over the years, how many missionaries have been sent out, how many men have been called into full-time service, how many lives have been changed. How many of you remember coming here when you were little? And think how, hey, raise your hand if you came here when you were, you know, think about that for a minute, what God's done. And, you know, I run into people all the time that grew up here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Now, they're not here now, but they're scattered around different places. But you know what they say? You know, we have such good memories of Fellowship Baptist Church. You know what? That's a good thing. Hallelujah. We want there to be some good memories at Fellowship Baptist Church. And that's what anniversaries are all about. It's simply rejoicing and reflecting on, you know, hallelujah, what God's done. But you know, when it comes to reflection and why remembering is so important, because, you know, the more God blesses you, the easier it is to forget. Well, that's the truth. The more you get blessed, the easier it is to forget. Remember the Laodicean church? John writes the book of Revelation, Laodicean church was rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. You say, what happened to those people? They completely forgot about God. You know what happened in less than 100 years? The Laodicean church was gone. Do you realize that most churches even last 50 years in the day in which we live? They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. And the ones who do last, their heritage is somewhere between 50 and 100 years old. You read all about all the churches of Asia in the book of Revelation. And by the end of the first century, those churches were completely in. And they're not today. This morning, I was thinking of Highland Park Baptist Church down here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we know that Highland Park Baptist Church is no more. And we know that it kind of have gone out of existence in a period of some 75 years. The church was established in the late 30s, early 40s, and it went out of existence as we know it in 2014. And it was less than 75 years and the church went out of existence. And, you know, and that's why it's important to remember some things. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to live to see Fellowship Baptist Church go out of existence. Amen. I want it to continue. Amen. I want it to have a rich heritage. I've been in churches in Ohio. Those churches have been there for 200 years and they're still there today. What an amazing thing that is. You can travel around different places in the country and those churches have been there. I mean, you think, my goodness, they've been here. They were founded not long after the country was founded, and they're still there today. There's still a congregation there today. They're still serving the Lord there today. And you say, amen, that's the way it's supposed to be. But how many times it go the other way? You see, it's easy to forget some things. I mean, when God's blessing, prosperity makes us forget. I've often said what the devil couldn't do through persecution, he accomplished through prosperity. Because it's easy to forget. Sometimes I laugh today. I'll see kids. You know, my mom and dad would be mad at their mom and dad. My mom and dad never did anything for me. And I think to myself, well, they didn't give you up for adoption. They didn't make you an abortion. They fed you and clothed you. When you had a fever, they put a rag on your head and somehow you made it to adulthood. So please don't ever say mom and dad never did anything for me, okay? Mom and dad did a lot for you. You survived. You made it to adulthood. You're blessed. But isn't it easy to forget? You know, sometimes people get mad and they leave the church and say, well, church never did anything for me. Well, they led you to Jesus Christ. Their children were saved. They followed the Lord and believers' baptism. The church taught them how to grow, be a Christian and to grow up in the Lord. Boy, isn't it easy to forget some things in the day in which we live? Boy, it's easy to forget and be ungrateful. You know why remembering is so important? To remind you to be thankful and grateful for what you have. To remind you to be thankful and grateful. And because it's so easy through prosperity to forget some things. We need to remember. We need to rejoice. We need to reflect. We need all these things in our life so that we don't get caught up and with the pride of life and the problems and little pettiness that so many times makes us forget things. Well, he said, he didn't shake my hand, he hurt my feelings, this, that, and the other thing. I said, let me tell you something. Christianity is more than that, amen. It's more than that. And as Asaph writes the psalm here, and as he reflects, he's thinking about all these things. And we need to remember some things. We need to remember that we're saints, that we're soldiers, that we're sons of God, and that we're called to endure some hardness. I want to read a little poem to you. And every now and then I like to break this poem out and read it because I think it's good and it reminds us of things about what we are as a child of God. African pastor actually wrote this, and he wrote it in his affliction. He wrote it in his hardship. He wrote it in the difficulty. And he said, you know what? I am going to serve Jesus Christ if it kills me. And thank God that he wrote this letter. But let me read it. It goes like this. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct, and faith and prayer and the Word of God are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, tested by fire. He said, I am a volunteer in this army, and I've enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, dependable. If my God needs me to be to teach children, work with youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I am here. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, patted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. Then he went on to say this, I am not a wimp. I am in my place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be coddled, or cradled, or cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt badly enough to turn around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I have nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will come out at even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than conqueror. I do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. I thought to myself, that's who I want to be. Amen. I want to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, the greatest thing we can do at Fellowship Baptist Church is raise up some soldiers. Amen. And thank God over the years, God's raised up some soldiers out of Fellowship Baptist Church, and praise the Lord for it. And thank God we can continue in that way. Now, when it comes to remembering, what are we really going to remember here? What's one of the most important things to remember? Can I tell you this morning, the first thing, the most important thing you ever remember in life is the Lord. The Lord. In verse number 11, he says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 now, and in verse number 1, if you want to look at it, you're right close to it. But Ecclesiastes 12:1, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, this is what he said. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I will have no pleasure in them. He said, what's the first thing? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, the best thing we can do is to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord, who he is, what he is, and what he's done for us. And Deuteronomy 6, verse number 12, what Moses did, he warned the people and cautioned the nation of Israel. And this is what he said. He said, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Hey, we need to remember some things. Hey, the Lord, He is our Savior. Amen. He is the Savior. The Bible says that neither is there salvation any other, for there's another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, we need to remember that there's a Savior out there. His name is Jesus Christ, and we cannot go to heaven without Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth unto the Father but by me. Boy, isn't that easy to forget? You say, well, I'm going to heaven. Well, how are you getting there? You ever thought about that? How are you getting there? Well, I'm going to buy a ticket. I don't think so. Amen. You can't buy your way into heaven. How are you getting there? Well, I'm a good person. You ain't that good. Nobody's that good. I mean, come on. How are you getting there? It's through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, except the man be born again, he can no wise enter the kingdom of God. And then he said, you must be born again. Boy, somewhere along the line, I think we've forgotten that in America. You got to be born again to go to heaven. You're not going to heaven because your mom is, your dad is, your brother, your sister is. If you're going to heaven, it's by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that is the only way that anyone's going to heaven. You say, well, I'm a member of the church. So what? That won't get you into heaven. Well, I've been baptized 25 times. Congratulations, but you're still not saved. You got to be born again. Amen. Remember the Lord, He's the Savior. And there is no other way. Thank God, the Lord is our sustainer. You know how we stand this morning? We stand by what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's the Lord that sustains us. It's the Lord that lifts us up. Psalms 53:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. The Lord is our sustainer. It's the Lord. Everything we do, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. I think we forget that from time to time. So, Lord, I'll take care of this one. We can't take care of anything. Without the Lord, we are nothing. Look in your Bible to Psalms 118. You're right there. Psalms 118 and in verse number 1. Hey, remember the Lord, that He's the Savior. But thank God, He is our sustainer. He is the one that enables us to go forward. He is the one that gives us breath in the life. He's the one that wakes us up in the morning. Psalms 118 says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. Hey, that's Israel, and that's the priesthood, and that's the Gentiles. It says, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now think about that for a minute. It's the Lord. You know, if we're anything at all, it's the Lord. If you're anything at all, it's the Lord. The Lord is our sustainer. Look in Psalms 124. Just flip over a couple more pages there. And in verse number 1, Psalms 124. If it had not been the Lord who is on our side. Amen. The Lord is on our side. Now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us and the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who have not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of a snare. A fowler's a snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Lord, who made heaven and earth. Thank God, He's the Savior. Thank God, He's our sustainer. And thank God, guess what? He's our soon coming King. Jesus Christ is coming, and thank God that He is. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ hath once suffered for to bear the sins of many, and unto him that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In Sunday school, we were talking about the spirit of Antichrist, talking about the great tribulation, talking about the things that are coming on this world. But you know what? The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming unto those who are looking for Him. He's going to appear. And thank God He is going to appear. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I fear we're living in a day when people are not looking for Jesus Christ anymore. Amen. The Bible says in the last days that there'd be a great falling away. And people would stop looking for Jesus Christ to come. And I believe we're at the cusp of seeing that happen across the world, across our nation. We've had so many false predictions in this world. and my lands. We've had a lot of false predictions, have we not? That people are getting so disillusioned by it that they don't even believe that Jesus Christ is coming. You'll say that was, you know, you say, well, the Lord's coming. He said, well, that's what you said the last 25 times. And people get disillusioned by it. We just had the blood moons again. And all the prophecy teachers were out there saying, the world's coming to an end. The world's coming. Let me tell you, the world is coming to an end. Amen. It's just not when you say it's going to be or when I say it's going to be. Amen. But I'll tell you, I'm more encouraged and looking for the Lord Jesus Christ today than I ever have been in my life. I believe He's coming more now than I've ever believed He's coming. See, we need to remember some things. We've got to be careful that we don't forget these things. We're living in the wealthiest nation in the world, the most blessed nation in the world, the most prosperous nation in the world. And I tell you, it is easy to forget some things. It's easy to forget some things. And that's why the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, when he spoke of not being caught up with the things of this life and the cares of this life, and that our hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and overcharged with the pleasure of this world, lest we forget that Jesus Christ really is coming. And He is coming. Thank God we can remember this morning the Lord. If we do anything at Fellowship Baptist Church, let's remember the Lord. Let's remember the Lord. The next thing I'd like to remember this morning is our love. Thank God we got to have some love. It is easy to forget when it comes to love. It's easy to forget that thing. We look at me in the book of Revelation. You know why the churches of Revelation went out of existence? Because they lost their first love. They lost their love. You know why marriages get dissolved? Because love goes out of the marriage. You know why friendships be dissolved? Because love goes out of the friendship. If you'll notice there in Revelation chapter number 2, notice what it says in verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them that are evil, and hast tried them which say their apostles are not, and hast found them liars. Thou hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored, and hast not fainted. But notice what he says in the next verse. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. What was that? The Lord. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. You say, what happened? Their candlestick got removed. The church closed. The light went out. Boy, we live in a day when people have lost their love, have they not? For spouse and for children and for church, for nation, for God, for parents. And it's sad. Why is that? The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You see, it's the mark of the end of the age. It's the mark of the end of the age. He said, well, what is it that we love so much today? Well, Timothy said in 2 Timothy 3, he said this, this know also that in the latter days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their what? Own selves. You know, instead of loving everyone and everything, you know what? We become lovers of our own selves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And boy, the love has waxed cold in the day in which we live. And it's a sad thing. It is sad when love waxes cold. It is sad when love goes out of the relationship. It's sad when you come to church and there's a coldness and there's not a brotherly love and the bond of perfection among the saints and the people of God. You know what love does? When you see someone that you love, the first thing that comes to your face is what? A smile. Because you're so glad to see them. You are glad to see them. There's a joy that bubbles up inside of you. I can tell you there's still a joy to this day. My wife and I have been married for 34 years, and there's still a joy today every time I see her. There's still a joy in my heart every time she gives me a kiss. There's still a joy there every time I'm around them. You know what? There's a joy when I see my children. And man, your children can aggravate the heck out of you. All parents can say amen. We know that's true. But there's a joy when I see Rebecca and Adam. There's a joy when I see Christopher and Melissa. There's a joy when I see Sarah. Man, there's a joy when I see the grandkids. There's a joy there, right? And man, the grandkids can aggravate the heck out of you also, right? They can, but there's a joy. You say, what is that? It's love. That's that bond of love. When you walk in the back door, and man, I mean, some people, we know, there's some people that are hard to love, are they not? But there's still a joy when you see them. You know, there's a joy there. Because, hey, that's what made that what made the church what it was. The Bible said, hey, they'll know that you're Christians by your love that you have one to another. What makes Christianity different from Islam? In Islam, they don't love anybody, right? I mean, no love going on in Islam. They're blowing each other up, killing each other. And the truth of the matter is, when they got no infidels to kill, they do kill each other. Because there's no love there. But see, we got something that the world can't understand. It's the love of Jesus Christ. And see, no matter what they say, that's what they can't comprehend that. The Bible says that the love of Christ passeth all understanding. How that the love of Christ could overcome every obstacle, every barrier, every problem. It's the love of Christ that does that. I think about it sometimes. How could God look down from heaven and really love me, knowing what I really am? And how could He love you, knowing what you really are? I mean, really, how could He go on to the cross of Calvary and allow them to pull out His beard and slap Him in the face and spit on Him and beat Him with a cat and nine tails and carry that cross up the Via della Rosa, the way of suffering, and make it to the cross of Calvary and be crucified for people like us? I scratch my head and say, man, how could God love someone like me? But I know He does. You know, I think to myself, Christ loved me so much that I want to remember to love Him also. Because He's something to love. We're nothing. We're like a pile of excrement on the ground, and Christ loves us anyway. Need to remember some things. Remember the Lord. Remember some love. Have some love. Remember that there's a lion out there. He said, a lion, yeah. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walk about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, the devil is seeking to devour some people. And boy, it's easy to forget that the devil wants to destroy your life, is it not? Well, that's easy to forget, hey, that the devil's not your friend. The devil does not care for your soul. The devil's not going to sustain you. The devil is not going to do... The devil wants to destroy you. Boy, it's easy to forget that sometimes. You ever see these guys at the circus? And they're, you know... I forget these one guys. I want to remember these one, two fellas' names. They had this... They had that white tiger, and the white tiger about bit his head off. Yeah. You know what he forgot? He forgot that it's a man-eater. He forgot that tiger didn't love him like he loved that tiger. He got so familiar with that thing that he forgot that that's a wild animal that wants to eat him for lunch. But see, he petted the tiger. He played with the tiger. He got familiar with the tiger till one day the tiger about did him in. You see, we forget sometimes that the devil was, that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Hey, the devil's work is real. He's out there to destroy and kill and he wants to ruin people's lives. How easy to forget that thing. You say, well, I'm just playing with him. I'm just messing around. Isn't he a pretty kitty? Well, we say that after he tears your arm off. The devil, he's seeking to devour. He's seeking to divide. You know what all division comes from? It comes from the devil. He's a divider. And he wants to divide. He wants to destroy. He wants to dismember. He wants the church to be dysfunctional. He wants the home to be dysfunctional. He wants the country to be dysfunctional. What did Jesus say? A house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. Hey, the devil loves when there's division in your life. Because when there's division, nothing's going to get accomplished. You know, it's kind of like Congress. Does anything ever get accomplished? You know. Of course, a man did say this. He said the best thing that happened in Congress is that they never get anything done. Because look how many laws Congress has made. Think about that for a minute. Look how many laws Congress has made the last 200 years. We might have been better off if they had just made... I mean, you couldn't fit them in a room in the books they've made. We'd probably been better off if they hadn't made any. But see, the devil's all about division. You know what God wants the church to be on? The same page. God wants everybody in the church to be on the same page. That's why he said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. You say, why? Because he wants everybody to be on the same page. The devil's done a good job of dividing the church, the body of Christ. You know, in Jerusalem, there wasn't first Jerusalem church and second Jerusalem church and third Jerusalem. No, it was the church in Jerusalem. Wouldn't it be amazing if there was the church of Chattanooga where the body of Christ worshipped and worked for the same goal, the same end, that souls could be saved? You know why that can't happen? Because the devil's done a good job of dividing the body of Christ. He's done a good job of dividing the body of Christ. He's done a good job of dividing homes, destroying families. We got to remember, there's a lion out there. And he's a divider. And he's a devourer. And he's a destroyer. A liar and murderer from the beginning. And he sows discord. And he sows division. And he sows bitterness. Got to remember, there's an enemy there. We need to remember this morning. And this one's important. You say, remember what? There's a lake. We call it the lake of fire. There's a place in the Bible that the Bible describes as hell, and people are going there. There's a bottomless pit, and there's a lake of fire. The bottomless pit will one day be cast in the lake of fire. You know, I wish that everybody was going to heaven, but they're not. You know, you go to a funeral, and they want to say, well, everybody went to heaven. They went to heaven because they're old. Well, people don't go to heaven because they're old. People die because they're old. The wages of sin is death. But just because they died doesn't mean they went to heaven. Well, it's easy to forget that there's something beneath our feet. It's easy to forget that there's a heaven above our head. But if there's a heaven above our head, you mark it down, there's a burning hell beneath our feet. And somebody's going there. We look in Revelation chapter number 20. And Revelation chapter number 20, and these are eternal verses that should burn in people's hearts. But Revelation 20 and verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them. But I say, he's a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Hey, judgment day is coming. The Bible says, appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There's a judgment coming where every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to stand before an almighty God. And it says, I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, and things were written in the books according to their works. Boy, God's going to do some judgment one day. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And the Bible says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You say, what's their works all about to determine their degree of suffering? Because their name's not in the book. Can I tell you something? You need to get your name on the book in heaven. Because if your name on the book, when God opens that book, your works are what's going to judge you and the depth of your damnation. Ecclesiastes 12 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for the whole duty of a man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Can you imagine if God revealed every secret thing in your life? Now, I could stand up here and say, I'm a pretty good person. Till God revealed every secret thing in my life. Every secret thing? When God gets done revealing every secret thing, you're not as good as you think you are. Amen. All them dark things that no one's ever known about but you, that God's going to reveal one day. We need to remember there's a lake, and it's on fire, and people who don't have their name written in the book of life are going there. They're going there. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance, but God winked at, but now committed all men everywhere to repent, because he have chosen a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he ordained, where if he have given assurance unto all men, and that he have raised him from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. He's going to judge all men one day. We need to remember that there's a lake. Lost are going there. Loved ones are going there. And boy, we've been lulled. We have been so lulled into thinking that everybody's going to heaven. That we've forgotten the urgency of the hour. You know, have you ever said this? I'll take care of it tomorrow. Or ever said, I'll do it tomorrow. And then forgot about it. You see, that's how the devil works. The devil never tells you not to be a witness for Jesus Christ. The devil tells you, he doesn't tell you not to get saved. He doesn't tell you not to believe in Jesus Christ. All he says is, how about you do it tomorrow? Why don't you take care of that tomorrow? But see, the problem is tomorrow never comes. I'll do it later. I was there at a man dying. He's dying. He's lost. He's going to hell. We're at the hospital. I mean, my goodness, he's got one foot in the grave and the other foot on a greasy banana peel. The doctor says he's not going to live. He's there. He's dying. And I said, sir, you need to be saved. You need to believe on Jesus Christ. He said, well, preacher, I'll just be honest with you. I'm just not ready. I'll do it tomorrow. What do you think happened to him and his tomorrow? That's right. He died and he went to hell and he's there right now. What do you suppose he's doing in hell right now? He's remembering. He's remembering the preacher sat at his bed with his Bible open and pleaded and begged him to trust Christ as a Savior. And he's remembering, he said, I'm not ready, preacher. I'll do it tomorrow. How do you know that's true? You ever read Luke 16? The rich man in hell? What was the first thing Father Abraham said to him? He said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. He said, remember. And he did remember, because he saw Lazarus and called him by his name. You know what the worst part of hell is going to be? It's this thing we call the memory. Because we're going to remember. And 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 our memories will haunt the people in hell. Every time the preacher said, hey, don't you think it's time for you to trust Christ your Savior? Don't you think it's time for you to get saved? The people that sat in church, the invitation was given. The preacher said, why don't you come and let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved? And the devil sat there and said, nah, do it next week. You'll be embarrassed if you do it today. Do it next week. Get your life straightened out next week. And next week became next month, and next month became next year, and next year became eternal damnation in the devil's hell. You know what the psalmist said? He said, you know what? He said, I'm going to remember. Asaph had been through so much. They'd seen the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem. They'd seen the defiling of the things of God. And Asaph, in this, through his tribulation and his trials, he says in verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? said, I'm going to remember the Lord. It's anniversary day at Fellowship Baptist Church. You know what my prayer is? Above everything else, that you'd remember the Lord. Remember your condition before Jesus Christ. Remember, you're not going to heaven without Him. Remember, your name better be on the Lamb's Book of Life, or you're not going to heaven. Remember that in hell, you will never forget. In hell, you will never forget. You mark it down, in hell, you will never forget. My prayer is that you could remember. Remember. Remember what Jesus Christ did for you. Remember how the Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart. Remember what Jesus Christ said about salvation. Let's stand for prayer, Brother Doug. If you